The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.
I want to talk to us this morning about curb appeal. Curb appeal. Now, we often speak of two ways that we are to take the gospel to the lost. One is by mouth. The Lord said to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. And Acts 8:1-4, particularly in verse 4, we read about how those who were scattered from Jerusalem due to the persecution went everywhere preaching the word. But not only are we to share the gospel with our mouth, but we are to share the gospel with our example. In Matthew 5:13-16, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. He said we're the salt of the earth. And then he concludes in verse 16 by saying that some could come to glorify God by observing the good works that we do. In 1 Peter 2:12, Peter teaches the same thing. That we ought to try to lead others to Christ through our holiness and through our righteousness. Now, again, I want to focus on this second part in our lesson this morning. I want us to think about sharing the gospel with our example. The way we live. The things that other people see and observe in our lives as Christians. Now, there's a TV program on the Home and Garden television station called Curb Appeal. And that TV show really stresses the importance of that first impression. The looks of the outside of the home when you're trying to sell your house. The show demonstrates tips as to how we can improve the curb appeal of our house. Well, that's what I want to do this morning in a spiritual sense. How can we improve our curb appeal, that first impression that people get of us as a child of God? Here's how. Three ways that we can lead others to the Lord. Number one, be friendly. Be friendly. The Proverbs writer said in Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, do we greet those in the world with a smile or a grimace? With bright eyes or darting, shifty eyes? You know, there are some people who are just downright rude. 1 Corinthians 13:5, when Paul is describing the behavior of love, he says that love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. How do we talk to those who are in the world? Well, in Colossians 4:5-6, the Bible said, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. That's talking about those who are not Christians. They're outside of Christ. Redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Note again that this verse addresses directly how we speak to those on the outside of Christ. That waitress or that waiter, how do you treat them in the restaurant? You know, there's no higher or more noble or more urgent matter at hand than how quickly we get our meal or how often our drinks are refilled. There's a much more urgent need than that, isn't there? Or how quickly we get through that line, wherever that line may be. Or how quickly we get to that destination when we're on the road. How do you talk to those on the road? Well, you know, preacher, they can't hear me. I don't care. It's in your heart. Sometimes they can see and read your lips or see the expression on your face, how mean and cruel it is. Listen, we need to be friendly to those who are in the world. There's some people who are just quarrelsome to those in the world. Philippians 2:14-16, Paul says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. We need to not be quarrelsome with people in the world. Proverbs 11:12, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. But a man of understanding holds his peace. One commentator said on this verse, not only feels contempt in his heart, but expresses it in his words and actions. Another commentator said, which he shows by contemptuous or reproachful expressions. The expression on your face. I recently heard about a preacher getting into a fist fight on the downtown square. Now what did this make this community think about that church where he preached? This quarrelsomeness is sometimes expressed, even by Christians, at our children's ball games. How do you act when you're at a ball game of your child? Or with the teachers at school, and the list goes on. What do those looking think about this? Would you be proud to let them know that you, where you attend church? Would you be proud to proclaim to them, hey, I go to church down here? If I want to make the gospel attractive and the Lord's church attractive, I need to work harder at making my own behavior attractive in the world. Years ago, an older brother in a class I was teaching referred to our bodies as a display case. Well, what do folks see in my display case? You know, we think about display windows for businesses. Do they put the ugliest stuff in there? Do they just let that display window just go to the dogs and look terrible and let cobwebs build up? Absolutely not. They try to make them as attractive as possible because they want people to look at it, be attracted to it, and come into the store and make a purchase. Am I adorning the doctrine of Christ with my behavior, or am I living in such a way as to bring shame on the name of Christ? You don't have to commit adultery or lie or cheat or steal. You don't have to get caught up in some public scandal to dishonor Christ and His church. You can do so by simply displaying an unfriendly and unpleasant disposition to where you earn the reputation among your peers in the world as being a rude grouch. Now, how can you hope to win them to the Lord? Somebody once said that the true expression of Christianity is not a sigh, but a song. If I want to improve my spiritual curb appeal, I must, in the first place, be friendly. Number two, not only must I be friendly, but I must be fervent. In Romans 12:11, Paul said, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. No, folks are on fire for many things. They're on fire for their favorite sports team. They're on fire for a good movie they recently went to see. They're on fire for a good book that they've read. There's nothing wrong with these things. But where is our fervency for the Lord and His call? Think about those in Gideon's day. In Judges chapter 6, verses 25 to 31. When Gideon tore down the altar to that false god, well, the townspeople got together and put together a lynch mob. And boy, they were ready to kill somebody. Oh, they were so on fire for that false god. Where's our fervency for the true and living God? I've met people who are on fire for some multi-level marketing product. Oh, they've got so much fire and fervency. Where is it in them for the Lord? You know, getting out the Christmas card list, going to friends' houses enthusiastically, trying to sell their product. What about trying to sell the Word of God? Buy the truth. Buy the truth. We need to sell it to people. We need to send it to people to teach them. And we need to be fervent. And people need to see in us a fire for the Lord. If only we could get as fired up about the Lord as we sometimes are about the home run or the touchdown or the favorite team or the favorite candidate for the presidency. Again, there's nothing wrong with getting fired up over these things. But what about getting fired up for the Lord and His call? In Matthew 10:27-28, the Lord said, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach from the housetops. Sound forth the gospel. God did not call us to sit soaking sour in silence, but to stand up, straighten up, and shout it from the rooftops. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. That's the song that we sometimes sing. What does this have to do with curb appeal? Well, folks are attracted to what others are excited about. They want to investigate. They want to see what all the noise is about. Even in being the hypocrites they were, the Pharisees were the most respected and the largest and fastest growing of all the sects of the Jews. Misguided as they were, they had fervor and zeal. The Lord said about them in Matthew 23:15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. But at least they had that fervency. In Romans 10, 2, Paul said about them, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, that is on fire for God, but not according to knowledge." We need to have a zeal for God. And we need to shout it from the housetops. Okay? Improving our curb appeal. I can improve my spiritual curb appeal by being friendly. I can do it by being fervent. And people are drawn to that excitement. And number three, I can do it by being faithful. You know there are hypocrites in every church. And sometimes when you try to invite folks to come down to the church, to the meeting, they'll say, "Oh, there's hypocrites down there." I think it's just a cop-out. I think it's just an excuse folks use to not go to church. A man once found a counterfeit dollar bill, I'm told. Did he go throw out all of his good dollar bills and resolve to never have anything more to do with money because there are counterfeit bills out there among the real cash? Oh, that's utterly ridiculous. But all too often it's true. You know, folks know of the hypocrisy and it'll keep them out of the church. We need to try to keep our noses clean in the world. We need to watch our reputation. I know a man, former elder in the church I used to preach at, had a reputation among the brethren there to be kind and generous and a very good Bible teacher and able to make the Scriptures come alive and able to explain difficult passages with ease in such a way as to make it crystal clear. But those on the outside that I spoke to in the community spoke of how ruthless and unscrupulous he was in his business dealings. They spoke about how he sat around the town square on lunch hours and played checkers for money and smoked his cigars. You know, Spurgeon once said, "Of all the things in the world that stink in the nostrils of men, hypocrisy is the worst." How sad it is when our lives don't match up with our religious profession, when we talk the talk but don't walk the walk, when we fail to practice what we preach. In Matthew 23, 4 and 5, the Lord said, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." That is, won't touch it with a 10-foot pole in our vernacular. "But all their works they do," watch this, "to be seen by men. And they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the border of their garments." Someone once said, "A hypocrite is a fellow who isn't himself on Sundays." We must be sincere and faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:12, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundant toward you." The word there for simplicity, a footnote in my Bible says, the opposite of duplicity. Well, what is duplicity? Well, duplicity is hypocrisy. It is two-faced, insincerity, a lack of fidelity, a lack of faithfulness. This is how we ought to conduct ourselves in the world, without duplicity, but with simplicity, with faithfulness to the Lord. People in the community see. If we're being faithful to what we believe in, or if we are living the life of a hypocrite, and we will, if we want to improve our spiritual curb appeal, we'll attract others if we have a true, strong faith. And so curb appeal is very important. Leading people to the Lord by example. And if I want to improve my spiritual curb appeal, I must be friendly. Not rude, but friendly. I must be fervent, be on fire for the Lord. And I must be faithful, avoid hypocrisy, and let people know that I'm faithful and determined to do what God has called me to do.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.